Good morning. This is Around Town with Amy Brown. It's Wednesday, June 5th, 2024. Seems like a good day for a story and maybe a little time travel. This was recorded earlier this spring at an event organized by the MDI Historical Society. Assistant Director Lisa Murray did the introductions.
Tonight, Brent Richardson brings us his Tales of Lightning stories from 20th century Mount Desert Island, a time when horse and buggy travel was still commonplace and dairy farms dotted the island. He's an eighth generation descendant of James and Rachel Richardson, the first permanent European settlers on Mount Desert Island, along with Abraham Soames and his family in 1762. He grew up in Indian Point and graduated from MDI High School in 1983. He's a registered Maine guide with recreation and sea kayaking licenses. He's been guiding on the waters and mountains of Maine since the late 80s. He lives in New Hampshire with his family. He returns to the islands often to visit family, hike the mountains, and swim in the lakes and the ponds. Brent will assume the character of his grandfather, Ralph Richardson Sr., as he recounts Ralph's stories of the people and the way of life in the early to mid-20th century Indian Point and surrounding towns. I'm really excited to have you here tonight, Brent, so I will pass it on to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm the sixth generation descendant of James and Rachel Richardson, who came up from Gloucester back in 1762. They would sail up on these Chabaco sailboats, these pinky schooners they call them. And he came up along with Abraham Soames, who had reconnoitered the area the summer before. Now my mother, she was from Bayside in Trenton, and her father, my grandfather, was Seth Pomeroy, and he was a cook aboard, on board schooners back in the 1800s. And he was, during his voyages, they went as far south as South America, and on one trip to South America, the captain died. And he captained the ship back, and the owners of the ship were pleased with that and offered him the role of captain on board. And he declined it and wanted to go back to being the cook, didn't want that responsibility. My mother, growing up in the country on a farm, she was good with a handgun, and this was her pearl-handled .32 revolver. She could toss a can in there and shoot it out of the air with this. It came in handy one time. There was a salesman that came around the house later years, and she let him in, and he wanted to look and see if he could purchase some antiques and the like. And he wouldn't leave, and so she went off to look for some antiques and came back with her handgun, and she convinced him to leave. My father was a good provider. He had a vegetable garden and could provide for the family, and he was a caretaker on Green Island in the summers and did lumbering in the woods in the winter. Later years, he worked for the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps, and he, along with my brother-in-law Herbert, they helped to build the mountain road up Cadillac in those days. Now, there were no Indians at Indian Point in those days. We still had the shell heaps and middens from when they would spend the summers there. But there was an Indian that would come by and visit us sometimes in the summers when I was little, and he made a bow and arrow for my brother and I, a full-size bow for my brother Morty and a little one for me. I wish I still had that. I decided I needed to look on for different work, so I went down to see George Richards. He was working as a mechanic down there on West Street, and he told me of a couple, Dr. Cast and his wife, up on Clefstone Road, that summer party that needed a chauffeur. So I went up and knocked on the front door, and the butler came and let me know to come around to the servants' entrance. And I met with the lady of the house, and she hired me. And so I had my livery suit, my chauffeur's cap, and I would drive her around town to the bank and like that. Some nights we would, usually we'd just chauffeur during the days, but sometimes they would have their dinner parties with their other, you know, wealthy summer parties. And one night I took Dr. and Mrs. Cass to Sonergy. That was the Atwater Kent estate. Atwater Kent had made his fortune inventing radios. And we would all go running around and drop them off at the front door, and then we chauffeurs would bring our cars up and sit there on Eden Street, Route 3 there, and, you know, wait till the dinner was over. And then the butler would come out and call us down around. So his English butler comes out and says, "Bring down Mrs. Fabry's motor." And her chauffeur from Otter Creek fella says, "What in hell do you want me to do with the rest of the car?" He was promptly let go.
Some excerpts from a presentation by Brent Richardson at an MDI Historical Society event that took place earlier this spring. For Around Town, I'm Amy Brown. You can reach me at news@weru.org. Have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.